Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first song this morning will be number 535. 535. We'll sing the first and third.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land.
Let's bow in prayer. Oh Father, creator of all that is around us, we humble ourselves right now in your presence on bended knee, thanking you for all the blessings that we have. We thank you that we're here in this place right now, worshiping you, praising your name, singing songs to you. We thank you that we're able to worship you in this way this morning, knowing that without your Son's amazing saving grace, we would never have the opportunity to do this. Father, we ask that you watch over those who are in charge of running this country at the moment. Father, we're so polarized and there's such chaos going on in our government right now. We ask that we find some way to be able to ease the tensions that we have at the moment and that we may be able to get along so that we can live in peace with one another. More importantly, Father, we thank you that we have the elders that we have, the wisdom that they portray. We ask that you give them extra blessings, for they have quite the job shepherding over us. We ask that we listen to their wisdom and do what we must to be able to stay in step with you. Watch over the deacon that we have, that he has the strength to be able to carry on the work of the elders and to help serve us in this congregation. Father, there are those in this congregation who are in need of extra blessing due to illness. We ask that you watch over them, and if it be your will, Father, we ask that you bring them back to health. But if not, Father, we ask that you comfort them and bless them so that they may find their way back one day. Father, we also ask that you give us the courage and the motivation to be able to spread your word to those here in our community. Father, we know that we have the true word within us, and that the world needs to hear what we have. Give them the ears to hear, and give us the boldness to tell the word boldly to those around us, for we are the lights of this community. Watch over us in all that we do this morning, that our worship may be not only pleasing to you, but we may edify each other in the process. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Taking the communion, we'll sing number 371. 371.
When we meet in sweet communion, where love is divine.
Before us, we have two sacrificial emblems. These two emblems symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have before us the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, And we have the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, we have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of this Lord's Supper. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, it is truly a blessing that you left for us a way to remember Christ Jesus and to remember his precious body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. It is in his name that we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning, Heavenly Father, on this first day of the week. Thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to partake in this worship service unto you. Thankful unto you for having the opportunity to gather around the Lord's table and to take this time to show our gratitude as we remember the sacrifice that thy son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father, freely giving himself, enduring the cruel punishment, and ultimately giving his life, doing so because he loved each and every one of us, giving us the opportunity at a chance at eternal salvation. We pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents thy son's precious blood, that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was inadvertently overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, we have another biblical commandment, and that is to give, and to give not grudgingly, to give as God has prospered us to do so. Let us bow and give thanks. O kind and merciful Father, we are grateful and thankful that we were able to wake up this morning in the best of physical health and strength that we have. We are grateful and thankful for this privilege of giving back unto you in support of spreading the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is in his honor that we give you all praise, honor, and glory. And amen.
The song of invitation this morning will be number 867. 867. Let's mark that. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 22. 22. Let's stand as we sing the song.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He is the sky with every hue and bring the world with his great might. There is a God.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Lamentations. That's Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 25. And I have the New King James translation. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Brother Skip.
Say good morning. Truly God has spared our lives just one more time to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning. I want to continue to pray for our land, this United States, as the spike is continue to increase, that God would heal our land. I just want to just thank this congregation for just cooperating with the leadership here. The elders have a job to try to look out for the safety of this congregation, that we can come together and that we can be safe, and they are continuing to monitor and continue to check with CDC and make sure that we continue to follow the guidelines that has been put in place. So we just want to just thank you for just your cooperation as they work along in trying to make things safe for us to worship. Again, it's just good to see you here if you're visiting with us. We do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings and all the things that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Just thank you for life. Thank you for allowing us to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we go into your word, that as we look into your word, that we can say some things that can be an encouragement, that can be a help, and the things that we're dealing with each and every day of our lives. And Lord, we just pray at the conclusion of this message, there'll be some things that we're falling short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk this morning on how to make it through times of grief. This year has been tough on a lot of families. We are approaching the holiday season. For some, it will be hard. But I want you to know you can make it through times of grief. When we read over Lamentations chapter 3, we get the sense that Jeremiah is dealing with a great amount of loss. Because he uses words like in verse 19, affliction, misery, my soul is humble or bowed down within. These are all words of loss. These are all words of grief. Grief is real. The need created in us when we grieve is real. Grief comes because of the uncertainty of physical life. Grief comes because of the feeling of loss. Grief comes as it is awkward. It's inconvenient. Grief brings guilt. It brings anger and the desire for closure. Grief is so complicated and personal, and is very unfair. Grief comes from death is the most obvious area that we deal with. See, grief from losing someone we love, it rocks our world and it changes how we think and how we feel. Some grief we never get over. More so during the holiday season, special occasions, is a reminder that our loved ones are not here with us. Divorce brings grief over decisions and hurts of what could have been. Being fired from work brings grief over loss of relationships, the loss of appearance of success, and the loss of what we expected to happen. Foreclosure can bring death of a dream and can hurt for years. A child leaving home brings grief of a different kind, in that one loses a whole stage of life and enters into another. And each of these are different for different people, but we all experience them. Grief is very real. So in this passage this morning, Jeremiah reflects on his grief, and he assigns one word to it in his mind. That word is bitter. And if you look over the passage, you will notice that the word bitter does not appear there, but bitter things do. When you look at verse 19, he talks about the wormwood. Now, the wormwood is a desert plant. In the daisy family, from which people would extract medicine that tasted bitter. But done wrong, the medicine would actually poison us. Gall refers to the bile produced by the gallbladder, which is also bitter. Wormwood and gall appeared together in Jeremiah and in Lamentations as a metaphor for the bitterness of life. You can look at Jeremiah 9 and verse 15. Jeremiah 23 and verse 15. It uses the word wormwood and gall. Even in Amos chapter 6 and verse number 12, even the prophet Amos said in the English Standard Version, do horses run on rocks? Does one plow there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. And so what happens is that Jeremiah, he looks around him and he see only his own sadness and the loss of a broken heart. He looks around to other people and he finds no answer. He looks within himself and he sees nothing that would satisfy any of the needs that he has. But when he looks up, he finds all that he needs. Well, what do he find? Number one, he finds hope. In verse 21, Jeremiah says he has hope. His hope is not because he is ignoring the world around him. He has not forgotten anything that has brought him grief. His hope is not because he is lessening any loss, because he's still in the middle of his grief and loss, and yet he says very clearly, I have hope. Hope in God is not denying misery. It's never ever there. Denying misery is fake. And there is nothing about God that is fake. Hope in God is turning our mind to God in the middle of our grief and finding that he is closer to our broken heart. God gives peace in prayer. God leads us to words of comfort in his written word. God leads us to a trusted friend of faith to listen and to counsel with us. God sharpens our memories in the Holy Spirit and reminds us of God's past, his present in our lives, and the future promises in him. You see, hope in God meets our needs in grief, because hope means the grief that we feel is not the end. And then secondly, there is love in verse 22. Jeremiah reflects on the steadfast love, the kind of love that Jeremiah remembers God has for him is an indestructible love. Now notice what he says. He says in verse 22, he says, through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. As beat down and defeated the people of Jerusalem and Judea were, they were not yet completely consumed. I want to here to tell you this morning that wherever God leaves life, he leaves hope. And so this kind of promise covenant, love that God has for us to lead to mercy in our lives that comes to us over and over again. God shows his mercy to us over and over again. It is in times of grief when we may find it hard to love others or even love ourselves. The love of God, thank God it never fails us. The love of God never gives up. It never runs out. God is eternal and boundless in love. It is very important that we understand this morning that the steadfast and never-ending quality to God's love, you and I love. But our love can begin and change. It can shift and end. It can grow and it can shrink. But God's love is always described in Scripture as steady, never-changing, constantly renewed for you and I. See, the love of God from God meets our needs in grief because we can know that we are valuable. And so he sees hope. He sees love. But then the third thing he sees is faithfulness in verse 23. He says it's new every morning. Each dawning day gives mankind hope in fresh mercies and compassion from God. Listen to me, no matter how bad the past days, God's people can look to the new morning with faith and with hope. These mercies are always new because they come from God. But then notice what he said. He says, great is thy faithfulness. Our God is a faithful God. We can trust in God. Well, what does it mean to be faithful? When you think about being faithful, what comes to your mind? You probably think things like being steadfast, dedicated, dependable, worthy of trust. And if you think those things, you are right on track. But listen, the Hebrew root from which the word translated faithful or faithfulness in the Old Testament is derived, it means to prop, to stay, or support. What do you mean? When applied to individuals, it means someone, a person, can safely lean upon. And I'm here to tell you, you can safely lean upon Jesus. He's there for you and I. So in verse 23, Jeremiah says very specifically about God, great is your faithfulness. And I want you to know that God is 100% faithful to me and to you. Why? Why is he that? Because it's not because you and I are so great. It's not because you and I are so faithful to him. It's not because you and I earn the respect of God of the universe. Why can God be counted on? Great is God's faithfulness to us because great is God's faithfulness in always being himself. You see, God would never act out of character for himself because he's perfect. He is holy. God is always God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. God is faithful. So faithfulness from God meets our needs and grief. Because we are not alone. But then, when you look up, he sees belonging in verse 24. In verse 24, Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. What does that mean? That the Lord is my portion. This is not the only verse where we find that kind of phrase. You can look in Psalm 73 and verse 26. You can look in Psalms 142 and verse number 5. Because it also have this kind of phrase. And so what does it mean? The phrase means that you and I belong to God and he provides for us. Jeremiah know that God is the source of his happiness and blessings because he belongs to God. Belonging to God, it meets our needs in grief because we have an anchor of where we belong. Grief can often rip out what we thought and we were and values in our lives. Grief can take away the feelings of fitness, fitting in, and that we belong. I'm talking about soul things here, because notice what Jeremiah mentioned. He mentions his soul. His soul needed an anchor and feeling of belonging. He got that from God, our Heavenly Father. Because listen to me, belonging to God brings our soul hope. We all need an anchor. And we can get that anchor from Almighty God. But then finally, when he looks up, he sees goodness in verse 25. Jeremiah says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Now notice, the Lord is good to those who wait. You can't be impatient. You cannot hurry up God. You got to learn how to wait on God. Because why? He's good. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. And we cannot forget what Jeremiah is going through. He sees only trouble around him. He feels utterly lost. He says his whole life just tastes bitter. He has hit the bottom of his life. He feels overwhelmed with grief and sadness. But in the midst of all of that, Jeremiah seeks out God. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you know what you find if you feel lost and you seek out God? What you find is, you find a good God. You see, do you know what you find if you wait for God in the midst of bitter seasons in your life? What you find is, you find a good God. Do you know what you find when you don't know where else to turn and you finally give God a shot? What you find is, you find a good God. You see, the goodness of God is much a part of him, and his love and his faithfulness and everything else that we have talked about on this morning. God is not only good some of the time, but God is good all the time. And all the time, my God is sure enough good. You see, good God's goodness is good for our soul. And so goodness in God meets our needs in grief, because through prayer, his word and ministry of the Holy Spirit is constant, is real, and is a part of his identity. It is a comfort and a heart-changing attitude in the midst of death of a spouse, a divorce, the death of a close family member, being fired at work, retirement, the death of a close friend, foreclosure, a child leaving home, that God is good. And he wants only good for you and I. God is not only good, church, but he's working for your good in the midst of your situations that you find yourself in. So let me close this morning. God promises hope on the other end of grief that he can only give. God promises constant love that you and I are valued. God promises faithfulness, and that he will always be God and present with us. God promises belonging with him which is an anchor for us in our grief. But God promises goodness, which help heals our hearts in the midst of grief. And when we understand these things, we can make it. We can make it through our grief. Because we have a God who says, I never leave you, nor forsake you. We have a God who has made a promise, lo, I'm with you always. Whatever you're going through, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You got to understand that whatever I'm experiencing in this life, God's got it. God's got your back. God's going to help you to make it through whatever you're going through this morning. But you can't look around. You can't look to others. You got to look up. Look up to God, and he will bring you through. You ask the Savior to help you, comfort and give you strength, and God will lead you safely through. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen. You can't make it without the Lord. You need the Lord each and every day of your life. Well, how do I do that? Well, you're going to have to obey him. God has left a plan that all of us got to follow if we want to be saved. You've heard God's word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. You got to be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Go down that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47. The church that he set up on this rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. The church that he's the head of. He loved it. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:23. Then you got to live faithfully. You're going to go through some stuff. But now you got somebody on your side that can help you make it through. If you're hearing a Christian, maybe you've been going through some grief. Maybe you have lost a loved one. I'm here to tell you, you look up and God can help you get through. Whatever the case may be, don't put it off. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Almost persuaded. Go, Spirit, go thy way.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to learn more about your word. Hopefully we'll be able to take some of the things that we've heard today and apply it to our daily lives. We pray, Father, for the people who are sick, that they get back to their much-wanted health. We also pray, Father, for the people who are traveling, that they may get to their destination safely. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.